This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واسلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقيل ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين استجابوا لله من بعد ما أصابهم القرح للذين أحسنوا منهم واتقوا أجر عظيم الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل صدق الله العظيم. There can be no doubt that the Ummah is passing through a very very critical phase, and as believers we have been taught that regardless of how bleak the situation is, we know every situation ultimately comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in every situation, we've been inspired by the text to take certain action and to do certain things. Very recently, a friend of mine told me that my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And obviously, it left a lump in everyone's throat. Everyone was saddened by the diagnosis. And we pray and we ask Allah, whoever is unwell, may Allah grant ease, afiyah and shifa. He said, while I was sitting at my mom's bed in the hospital and waiting and trying to cheer my mom up, and of course that's one of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ عَلِي الْمَرِيضِ فَنَفِّسُوا لَهُ فِي أَجَلِهِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَا يَرُدُّ شَيْئًا وَيَطِيبُ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ كَمَا قَالَ. That when you visit an ill and unwell person, then cheer him up, cheer her up, say good words, say kind words. Surely your kind, motivational words will not prolong the life of the ill person, but will add value to the remaining days of his life. Today we talk of psychology as a science, as a book, as a theory, as a workshop. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam executed it on the greatest level. فَنَفْقِسُوا لَهُ فِي أَجَلِهِ. Say good words, say kind words, cheer the person up. He says, I was sitting in the hospital at the bedside of my mom and trying to cheer her up and give her some positive energy, trying to bring a smile on her face. Just then my siblings arrived. But the brutal truth is, unfortunately, my siblings, my brother and my sister, have been at loggerheads for 10 years. And they haven't been speaking to each other. It became a bit of an awkward moment because obviously both had to come because mommy's unwell. Now they're standing at the door and could see that awkward silence. And with the grace of Allah, they mastered the courage and they embraced each other. And he says, my mom almost recovered fully just with her in that. This ummah was always told and taught to be united and to be concerned about every Muslim. But sometimes it takes crisis in our life to make us conscious, to open our eyes. It takes the loss of lives. Yesterday in the talk I said, it takes the living to close the eyes of the dead. And it takes the dead to open the eyes of the living. When a person passes on, we close the eyes. Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. It takes the living to close the eyes of the dead. And sometimes it takes the dead to open the eyes of the living. From the time this ummah became selfish, micro to macro, the ummah has just fallen. And there's just been no level and no limit to the downward trend. The breakup in marriages is what? He's too selfish. She's too self-centered. She forgot I'm part of the marriage. He forgot he married. She forgot she married me as well. This ummah always was centered around a sense of togetherness. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is resting in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time, the Muslims were in battle in Alexandria. Sayyidina Umar was pacing in anxiety. What's the update? What's the news? Muawiyah bin Khudayj, not Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah bin Khudayj. He was out and Sayyidina Umar was anticipating his return, anxious, waiting. What's the news? What's the update? He decides or he arrives at midday, siesta. So he thought for a moment, Amir al-Mu'mineen ha'ilun, ay yanamu qaylula. Midday, siesta, I guess, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would be resting. So he came to the masjid, he seen Sayyidina Umar, and he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen qa'il. Sayyidina Umar was there, he was awake, he got up. He said, Bi'sa ma dhananta ya Muawiyah, Bi'sa ma dhananta ya Muawiyah. O Muawiyah, when the ummah is facing a crisis, how can you possibly imagine that I would be resting? Then he said, لَإِن نِمْتُ النَّهَارِ ضَيَّعْتُ الرَّعِيَّةِ وَلَإِن نِمْتُ اللَّيْلَ ضَيَّعْتُ نَفْسِي فَكَيْفَ النَّوْمُ بَيْنَ هَذَيْنِ يَا مُعَاوِيَةِ Muawiyah, when this is the crisis of the ummah, how can I put my head on the pillow at midday? And if I were to put my head on the pillow at night, when will I find time to converse with my Allah? When this is the daunting, colossal, mammoth responsibility on my shoulders, you find me the time and I will go to sleep. This ummah was always concerned by the happenings around. They were never selfish and self-centered. Look around us, the breakup, the cause, the trigger factor in marriages. And as soon as you become, my honorable dad, and I've shared this in my talks locally and abroad, alhamdulillah, he's turned 80, pray for him and may Allah preserve all our seniors and grant them goodness. He said to us one day, he said, my children, in my 80 years, if I've learned one thing, the secret of happiness is make others happy. And he said, the cause of depression is when you're waiting for others to make you happy. The secret to happiness is make others happy. And the cause of depression is when you sit in, but he didn't retweet me, he didn't like me, he didn't compliment me, he didn't give me a thumbs up, he didn't laud me, he didn't extol my praises, he didn't lavishly compliment me. So I'm constantly waiting for gratification, for acknowledgement. And there's this hunger in me that I need to feed and massage my ego. So because of that, till I don't get that repeated acknowledgement, there's a sense of deprivation within me. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sat down and he was about to commence his talk and he rotated his gaze. He said, but that youngster is not here. It's in Ibn Kathir, has made mention of it in Surah Hamim, Surah Mu'min, chapter 40. Ibn Kathir has mentioned the full narration. He said, that youngster is not here. So he said, Amir al-Mu'minin, which youngster? He said, so and so, though but say, very strong, very muscular, you know, very agile, very prominent. I said, yeah, he's got some habits. He's got some habits. So Amir al-Mu'minin, radiallahu anhu, said, program subject to change without prior notice. He didn't say those words, of course. But read the narration of Ibn Kathir. He said, we'll halt the program because one of us is not present today. Wow. And they said, unfortunately, he's got a tendency at times of drinking and indulging in intoxicants. So look at the concern of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, min Umar ila fulan ibn fulan. This is from Umar to so and so. Now, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wants to alert him that what you're doing is wrong, but he also wants to give him hope. You cannot give false hopes. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, who is a true scholar? مَنْ لَمْ يُقَنِّطِ النَّاسَ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُرَخِّصْ لَهُمْ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. The one who doesn't make people despondent of Allah's mercy nor does he give them concession in Allah's disobedience. It's a fine line. But he started off on the element of hope. Give people hope. I keep on saying, I was once leading a janazah prayer, and at that time, I said that, you know what the Prophet said in the narration, if 40 people or 100 people will attend your funeral and they will pray for you, Allah will forgive you. So a brother came to me there, studded, he had some tattoos, he had this flowing hair, big, huge, muscular. He said, hey Imam, before you start, did I hear you correct? Did you say if 100 people come to the funeral, Allah will forgive? I said, yes, that's the narration. He said, so if I speak to my cronies and my friends and my buddies, and if 100 come, will Allah forgive me? I said, indeed. He found hope in one hadith. Give him the hope. Of course, and that's what I want to touch on, and you know, given the crisis, I think it's important that we are relevant to the situation, so we speak on those lines, and we take a cue from the verse that was recited as well. So the hadith tells us, وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْأَمَانِجِ. That helpless and feeble is the one who lives a life of base desires. He just lives a life of indulgence. And then he has elevated hopes in Allah. That's not correct. That's not correct. In fact, the verse that we recited, and I'll come back to this incident, but perhaps let me complete this incident and then I'll, you know what, continue with this. So Umar radiallahu anhu wrote, min Umar, ila fulan ibn fulan, from Umar to so and so. And we learn from this the etiquettes of communication. Our deen is rich, complete and wholesome. Sometimes people will send you a long message, but you still don't get the gist of what they're trying to say. It's so detailed, it's so prolonged. Be comprehensive, say the key points, make it easy for someone to have a cursory glance or to peruse. I receive emails daily. I receive messages, queries. Appreciate your crisis. Give it in a synopsis form so the scholar, the counselor, whoever needs to read, at one look, he has an idea what's happening. Aisha radiallahu anha wrote to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Amma ba'd. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ بِمَسَاخِطِ اللَّهِ يَصِرْ حَامِدُهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ ذَنْمًا لَهُ وَالسَّلَامِ. أَمَّا بَعْدْ. Imagine the giants. You got Aisha radiallahu anha on one side. مَشْتَكَلَ عَلَيْنَا أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ شَيْئًا إِلَّا سَأَلْنَا عَائِشَةً. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu said, whenever we face the complexity and an awisa, as we say in Arabic, a difficult thing to resolve, we would go to Aisha radiallahu anha and she would resolve it for us. And she is writing to Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma mahdi Muawiyah wahdi me. Allah guide him, inspire him, and inspire people through him. And what's the message between these two giants? Amma ba'd, fa'innahu man ya'mal bi masakhiti Allah yasif hamiduhu min al-nasi dhamman lahu wa salam. O Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, a humble advice to one and all, but she communicated to him, whoever, whenever, chooses to disobey Allah, and this is not an insinuation in any way that Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu had disobeyed Allah, but this was the context. I need to make that qualifying statement. Sayyidina Luqman told his son, La tushrik billah. That doesn't mean his son was guilty of shirk. You tell your son, listen, my son, don't smoke. No, I don't smoke. No, I can see you are smoking, but actually when the way you're saying it, you make me wonder. The way you refute in it, how vehemently and strongly and defensively, I'm just wondering. My phone is missing, I don't have it. You know the other one, the guy's walking like this, and they asked him, how are you feeling? He said, I'm not feeling too grand. Thank you, sir. Smart. Sometimes when I, you know what I mean? Yeah. Are you feeling? I'm not feeling too grand. Sayyidina Luqman told his son, La tushrik, don't ascribe. That doesn't suggest or insinuate or imply that polytheism was found. It was a message. Right? So whoever disobeys Allah, his allies will become his adversaries. Whoever disobeys Allah, you are walking a path of the disobedience of Allah. You might have an entourage around you, you might have a presence around you, you might have some cronies around you, but remember one thing, if the path you're walking is the disobedience of Allah, with the passage of time, gradually one after the other will start withdrawing, drifting, withering away, and you will stand ace out, and all those who were your allies will adversely become your hostile towards you and adversaries. Wassalam. That's it. Subhanallah, that's how comprehensive it was. Today we live in a world, you know what? You get a motivation in the morning, say, wow, what a quote, man, I'm blown off my feet. And it lasted till half a day. And then you needed another motivation and another invigoration. Muhammad bin Wasi, who was one of the great qurra of this ummah, Malik bin Dinar said, "Lil umara'i qurra, wa lil aghniya'i qurra, wa inna Muhammad min qurra'i rahman." You have some local reciters, some international, and then you have those who are the selected reciters of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ was walking. So regarding Muhammad bin Wasi', someone said, "Kuntu idha wahantu fil ibadah," one of his contemporaries, "wa kasantu fil ibadah." Sometimes when I would dip spiritually, then I would just go and attend the gathering of Muhammad bin Wasi', and then just a cursory look at that man would spiritually invigorate me for weeks on end. "Kuntu idha wahantu fil ibadah wa kasantu fil ibadah, نظرت إلى محمد فتنشدت في العبادة أسابيع." May Allah grant us that inspiration and that invigoration. Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه wrote to the person, من عمر إلى فلان. Then he wrote the following verse: غافل الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. It's a verse of Surah Mu'min. What is Surah Mu'minun? That's chapter 23. This is Surah Mu'min, chapter 40. غافل الذنب وقابل التوب فإني أحمد إليك الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. Also and so, I praise before you Allah, who is one who forgives sins, overlooks, pardons, yet his might, strong, he has absolute authority and power, and he can punish as well. So Sayyidina Umar commenced by praising. How often it happens, there's an issue at home, there is some marital discord, there is some turbulence between husband and wife, and now you need an icebreaker. Two brothers are not talking, or someone is completely withdrawn. Now you need to find the right words. We touched on psychology. It takes a lot at that time of maturity. What's the right word? Because that first moment is going to either make or break. It's going to salvage or destroy. It's going to mend or end. It's going to mend or end. And again, I have the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in Bukhari, when the Messenger ﷺ came home and he noticed that Fatima radiallahu anha and Sayyidina Ali had a dispute. What is the secret to a happy marriage? The secret to a happy marriage is two imperfect people who refuse to give up on each other. What is the secret to a happy marriage? Two imperfect people who refuse to give up on each other. Amongst the praises that the Prophet ﷺ directed to Abu al-Ans bin Rabi', you need to know this, my brother, and you need to know this, my sister. And it's sad that many of us don't know who this man is. He's the first son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know Sayyidina Ali, and rightfully so. We know Sayyidina Uthman, and rightfully so. He's sitting with Ruqayya radiallahu anha. And what a spectacle. أَبْشِرْ وَقَدْ حُيِّيْتَ ثَلَاثًا وِطْرًا ثُمَّ ثَلَاثًا وَثَلَاثًا أُخْرَى ثُمَّ بِأُخْرَى لِكَيْ تُتِمَّ عَشْرًا لَقِيتَ خَيْرًا وَرُقِيتَ شَرًّا نَكَحْتَ وَاللَّهِ حَصَانًا زَهْرًا وَأَنْتَ بِكْرٌ وَلَقِيتَ بِكْرًا. Amazing couplets, praise at Sayyidina Uthman when he was with his spouse and his partner and his consort Ruqayya radiallahu anha. And of course the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him to say that if I had more, I would have lined them up. How many times a man gets his daughter married and he has second thoughts, if I could pull back, I would.
Abu Nu'as bin Rabi was the eldest son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wedded to Zainab radiyallahu anha, who was the nephew of Khadija radiyallahu anha. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam nabuwah, and of course all his daughters followed with him in the deen, at that stage it was still allowed, the marriage was still intact, but there was no intimacy, etc. Abu Nu'as bin Rabi received mounting pressure from the people of Makkah to be loyal to them and to divorce his wife. And they said to him, Farid sahibatak, Farid sahibatak. Listen, you either divorce this man's daughter or then we ostracize you from society. You're going to choose. If you're living with his daughter, that means you're part of his creed and his culture. And there was mounting pressure on him. And he withstood that pressure. And he did not buckle under that pressure. And of course, subsequently, he took the shahada. And the Prophet ﷺ then praised him. حَدَّثَنِي وَصَدَّقَنِي وَوَعَدَنِي فَوَفَى بِي. He took my daughter with respect and dignity, and he honored it. And he delivered on it. The Prophet ﷺ's daughters, Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, were initially wedded to whom? The two sons of Abu Lahab, Utba and Utayba. And of course the verses were then revealed, and then he told his sons that Ra'si min Ra'sikuma haram in lam tutallikhuma, that I'm not your father and you're not my son if you do not sever the relation. And of course they then severed it. I was saying the right word at the right time. In Tafsir al-Uthmani, it is mentioned there in the footnotes, if a person uses the right word at the right time, with the right approach and the correct passion, the word has to have a profound impact. If it's lacking an impact, then you are devoid of all of the ingredients or one of the ingredients. The right word at the right time, with the right passion. Ask yourself, apply yourself, what's the right thing? My son is throwing a tantrum, he's been rebellious, this is what's happening. Is this the moment? Is this the correct time? Am I measured? Have I applied myself? The Prophet ﷺ came home and he observed that it was not good, and Ali radiallahu anhu had left. And then he came to the masjid, the hadith is in Bukhari and in great detail, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was resting in the courtyard. And now he is the cousin, he is the Nabi of Allah, he is the father-in-law. There is so many different angles to it. There's the sensitivity, there's the pride, there's the closeness, there's the attachment, there's the bond of Fatima radiallahu anha, there's the proximity, there's the relation, there's the sensitivity. How often, and I do a lot of marriage counseling, but probably for the last 10 years, I have actually short-circuited the presence of seniors. Because you have the quarreling couple, and then you say, okay, let's get the seniors. And you get two seniors, instead of being level-headed and trying to mend, each one just comes aggressively defending their own. That's why in English they say some people grow old, they don't grow wise. You are young once, but you can be immature indefinitely. You are young once, but you can be immature indefinitely. The ummah needs wise people, not old people. Previously, wisdom was synonymous to old, not anymore. Before it was, if it was elderly, he was a wise man. Respectfully, that doesn't apply anymore. We have a lot of people who are just aging by years. A long life is not necessarily a good life, but a good life is a long life. A long life is not necessarily a good life. A good life is a long life. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He came there, he seen Sayyidina Ali resting, and he broke the ice by saying, Qum ya Aba Turab. Oh, dusty character, you want to stand up? And of course the hadith goes on, and the scholars write, Sayyidina Ali said, I would prefer someone calling me Aba Turab, because that's how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hafiz ibn Hajar has written extensively, the adoption of the expression Aba Turab was the psychological display of just quelling the icy moment. What's the proverb in the English language? A smile confuses an approaching stare. You know, a person wants to stare at you and you smile. he doesn't know what to do. A smile can thaw and melt an icy stare. Person knows if you did it, smile. Just smile. We have a problem. We go out of our way to greet people who we know. And I don't say this as a problem, but I'll give you my context from Quran. And when people who we don't know greet us, we look beyond. وَتَقْرَأِ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. The hadith says, greet people who you know and who you don't know. It's good that you go the extra mile. See, the Quran says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَانُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. صورتان في القرآن بدأت بالويل إحداهما في أموال الناس والثاني في أعراض الناس. Two chapters in the Quran started with wail. Wail could either mean a pit in hell or woe to you. So Allah says, woe be to the fraudsters. الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون. When they need to receive, they make sure it's 1 gram short. It's half a gram short. That's not a problem. That's fine. You ask him your due. But when you need to pay your due, are you just so particular of the half a gram that's short? So when you demand in full and you don't deliver in full, then it even makes your plus into negative. Because if you tolerant in accepting less, then people might have a tendency to excuse you to a limit. But you would insist on the last penny and the last cent. So why don't you have the same passion in delivering? My time is running out. Let's get back to the point, complete with that incident. But these are good reflections for us. So of course, we spoke about it. I want to come back to the ayah. Sayyidina Umar, and I said, use the right word at the right time. Sometimes it's just the tone or the approach or the wording that destroys everything. May Allah save us. Use the right word at the right time. So Sayyidina Umar said, this is from Umar to so and so. I praise before you Allah who forgives, who's kind, and who is mighty and has strong power and might and grandeur and glory. And he told the person, he said, you take this note and drop it by this person who has not attended, because of which we have put our program on pause. And he told everyone, Udru Allah ta'ala li akhikum an yuqbila bi qalbih. Now each one of you engage in prayer that Allah must turn the focus of the heart of your brother. So it wasn't just a letter, it was laden with prayer. It wasn't just a note, it was brimming with supplication. It was rich. I always tell the youth, they say, give me advice. I say, your parents are alive? They say, yes. I say, fill your reserves with their du'as. Then for the rest of your life, in every crisis, you can go into that intangible reserve and pull out one prayer and it will salvage you for the rest of your life. By Allah. Just fill it up. I'm elated. My mom was so happy with me, she prayed for me. You would see how those prayers will come to your rescue and your salvage. Fully, that's your choice. That's your choice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by and he said, سَمِعْتُ صَوْتَ قَارِئٍ يَقْرَى نِمْتُ اللَّيْلَ. I slept the night, authentic hadith. And then I see myself in Jannah. And then I'm listening to one of my Sahaba, Nu'man. He's reading in Medina, but it's amplified in Jannah. Not on YouTube, not on national radio, not on live stream globally. No, he's reading in Medina and it's amplified. كَذَلِكَ الْبِرْ كَذَلِكَ الْبِرْ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ. Because of his dutiful nature to his mom, Allah privileged, honored him, blessed him, that his recitation on the earth was amplified in paradise. So everybody engaged in prayer, the notary was sent to this man. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ الرَّجُلَ كِتَابُ عُمَرْ جَعَلَ يَقْرَأْ وَيُرَدِّدُ. He started reading it. And then he said, حَذَّرَنِي عُقُوبَكَ وَبَعْدَنِي أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لِي. Oh, Umar, I salute the selection of your ayah. I salute. A man's got a habit. was not fully sober, was trying to recover, was relapsing, he's absent, Umar is concerned by his absence, the entire program is put on hold because of him. We digress on the note of being a sense of togetherness. You know, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, and then, فَمَا رُؤِيَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ يَشْرَبُ خَمْرًا. After that, for the rest of that man's life, he never drank a drop of alcohol. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ أَخًا لَكُمْ زَلَّ زَلَّةً فَسَدِّدُوهُ وَوَثِّقُوهُ وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَعْوَانًا لِلشَّيْطَانِ عَلَيْهِ. When you see your brother slipped, then don't become the ally of the devil and make him fall more. Become the ally of truth and help him stand. Help him stand. Give him hope. Watch your words. Watch your words. You can either mend or end. You can either restore respect or demolish it. So the verses we recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the companions. And of course, on that note, we were talking about the importance of being together. You know, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, often I mentioned this year, you have an Eid celebration or you have a happy occasion and there are senior people there and it's so nice and there's so much muhabbah. And then we say, oh wow, it's so good to see he came and she came and they came and they all were there and it was a spectacle. And that's great. And then we wish, hope and pray that that spirit must be transmitted to the next generation, which is brilliant within its own space. But if we don't put measures in place, we're just dreaming. Like, oh my kids, I want you to be close. But my son, what they say, our children pay more attention to what we do than say. But dad, I'm seeing you not talking to my uncle and your brother and you're hoping for us to be united. What's the message you are making? And that's what marks the difference. The whole world today, from the political platform to otherwise, wants reform at the expense of others. Don't encroach on me, don't infringe on me, don't adjust anything in my life. You change, you legislate, you implement, you abide, you're not above the law, it doesn't apply to me. So what's it? There's no reform, there's mutiny. People are rebelling against the state, against this, against that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he set the tone, he said, oh people, I have put all the interest matters that my uncle Abbas had taken in usury beneath my feet, and all money that was owed to my family and my uncle, because Sayyidina Abbas, prior to Islam, that's the qualifying statement, he used to take interest and that's how they used to transact and money was taken. Right? The Quran said, Don't exploit, don't extort, don't deal in interest. لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. In fact, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi used to say, the Quran sounds a very strong warning. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا الربا أضعافا مضاعفا. Oh, you who believe, don't indulge in compounded interest. واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. And fear Allah so that you may attain success. واتقوا النار التي أعدت للكافرين. And fear the hell which was prepared for the disbeliever. So Abu Hanifa rahimahullah says, look at the preceding and the post ayah. Allah alerts you, don't indulge in interest. And then Allah warns you that indulgence in interest will expose you and predispose you to a fire that was destined for the disbeliever. But given the heinous nature of your crime, you'll be hurled in it as well. May Allah protect us. The Prophet said, all the interest is gone. All the killing that had happened, the unjust killing is gone. And we forgive the murder that had happened in our family. And then he asked for others to forgive. When you can take the leap as a leader, and that's why when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was in his throes of death, and he said, I don't know who to appoint. And they said, Ibn Abbas was present. He said, what about so and so? What about so and so? And Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ibn Abbas, do you know what it takes to be a leader? Wow. قوي من غير عنف لين من غير ضعف جواد من غير صرف ممسك من غير بخل. He needs to be strong, but he mustn't be harsh. قوي من غير عنف لين من غير ضعف. He needs to be gentle, but he mustn't be meek and docile and passive. جواد من غير صرف. He needs to be generous, but he mustn't be extravagant. Mumsikun min ghayri bukhlin. He must know when to withhold, but he mustn't mind. We cannot even process the theory, never mind the reality. Strong. What a type of a leader. Okay, you're quickly coming back to my point here. So we recited the beautiful verses, the amazing verses and the relevance, and may Allah make it easy for our brethren at this time. May Allah grant him strength, may Allah grant ease, may Allah grant hafia, may Allah grant victory. So Allah speaks, and of course the ayat, right? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah speaks about after the campaign and the expedition of Uhud. الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحُ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَاخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا Those who obliged, those who complied, those who acceded, those who responded. The salient feature and quality of a believer is he's ever ready to comply and obey. When you define a believer, he's the first in compliance and obedience. كُنُوا فِي هَذَا الْأُمُورِ رُؤُوسَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا فِيهِ أَذْنَبَ كُنُوا فِي هَذَا الْأُمُورِ رُؤُوسَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا فِيهِ أَذْنَبَ Become the head and not the tail when it comes to good. Don't lag behind. Islam did not only tell us hold on to the Quran. Islam said make sure you hold properly. Sometimes we're holding, but we're not holding properly. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani has mentioned, and I've often quoted this in my talk, in Urdu he writes, Allah ki rassi chut sakti hai, toot nahi sakti. You can lose the grip of the rope of Allah, but the rope won't break. The rope, لَنْ فَصَامَ لَهَا لَنْ تَطَعَ لَهَا Look at the whole Quran, wherever Allah tells you to hold, يَا يَحْيَا خُذِي الْكِتَابَ بِالْقُوَّةِ وَأْمُرْ قَوْمَكَ يَأْخُذُوا بِأَحْسَنِهَا فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِالَّذِي أُوحِيَ إِلَيْهِ عَبْدُوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِبِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ Hold in firm. So, in the campaign of Uhud, and I know my time is up, just allow me to wrap it up. Hayatullah. After the campaign of Uhud, and this is a very important message as a takeaway lesson, amongst all the other lessons that inshallah we shared and we can add value to our lives, because we're on the journey of learning. We're on the journey of learning constantly. In English, they say, every person you meet in life knows at least one thing you don't know. Be sure not to part ways till you don't learn it. Everyone you meet, he knows one thing you don't know. Take that lesson from him. Enrich yourself. Empower yourself. Imbibe it. Internalize it and move on to keep on picking from each person. You know how much value you're going to add to your life? You know how much more inspiring you're going to become? How meaningful and rich and empowered your life will become? So, in the campaign of Uhud, after the companions were injured, and then there was a subsequent call that was said that the enemy is mobilizing for you. The Quran says, الَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَارِحِ They were injured, they were bruised, they were maimed, they were inflicted. At that time, you can imagine. You're tired, you're exhausted. You know, sometimes you're flying and you're fasting, and because the shutter is closed, you think it's really Maghrib. So you're like, okay, excited. And then you open the shutter and the sun is like smiling. Right? مِن بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَارِحِ After you feel that sense of fatigue and you feel exhausted. And then people threaten them and said, you know what? قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ The nations have mobilized for you. The nations have mobilized for you. So fear them. What was the response of a true believer? فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ That provocation did not have a negative impact on them. Nay, it increased them in faith, compliance and submission. That which you were threatening them with was embraced by them. And they said, حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ Now, I want to share a hadith and I want to share a reflection, and then hopefully I can culminate and conclude my talk. The scholars have said that the sheer recitation of this word and its light is soothing, is comforting, is cathartic. It heals your heart. In fact, the scholars have written, when you are afflicted with a trial, the recitation of Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un is not only the correct response, but it is also a form of treatment. And this is the speciality of this ummah. No other ummah was given this recitation. And they deduced this from the fact when Sayyidina Ya'qub, who was a great Nabi of the Almighty, was separated from his son. And of course, a long period had passed and lapsed. And the Quran says, وَبِيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. He was in intense grief. And of course, he was crying and lamenting to the Almighty. But at no point do we find the mention of Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. And of course, he was the Nabi of Allah. He was the most beloved of Allah. As Allah references the entire galaxy of the Anbiya in the Quran, that وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ. They were exclusive to the remembrance of the latter life. So the recitation is very soothing. And I often say to people, when you are going through a difficulty, then that volatile situation is infiltrated and indoctrinated by the devil. The devil wants you to blurt things. The easiest way to keep him away and suppress him is to then take on certain regimens, certain recitations. Because now the mind is racing. Why? What? How come? I still cannot process this. But he divorced me. But why did he do this to me? But how could I have experienced this? But I just lost him. Well, this happened. So the devil wants to get into that space, indoctrinate, start throwing out the whispers, and start making the injections that are lethal and poisonous. At that time, you recite any dua or dhikr or verse which is relevant to your situation. There was a friend of mine whose son was diagnosed, and it was traumatic, and back and forward, and diagnosis, and then hospital, and radium, and then it's precarious, and it's uncertain, and there's hope, and it drops, and up and down. And he said, one ayah got me through the ordeal. قُلْ لَيْ نُسْلِبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Tell them, nothing, but nothing, afflicts you, privately or collectively, micro or macro, individual or collective, but that which Allah had ordained for you. He is our master, and in every situation we happy with him and rely on him. He said, I just read it and read it and read it. Every time I get into this dark tunnel and the devil wants to get me into an awkward space and starts interfering with my faith, I recite this. So reciting this is cathartic, it's healing, it's soothing, it just comforts you. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Ni'mal wakeel. Allah refers to, in everything, ni'ma in Arabic means brilliant, amazing, awesome. You have two verbs, ni'ma and habbada, like a pizza and sa'a. So ni'ma is to say awesome, great. So Allah says, أَلَمْ نَخْلَقْكُمْ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ إِلَىٰ قَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ. Did we not create you from something impure? Then we placed you in the safe womb for a duration, for an estimation, for a calculation, which we calculated. But then can anyone calculate better than us? We put you in this world for a period, and then the time lapsed, and that was our calculation. And that's what you tell yourself. وَعِينُ مَا يُرْشِدُ إِلَيْهِ أَهْلُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِتَذْكِيرِ الْقَدْرِ وَأَنَّ الْخَيْرَ فِي مَا بَطَعَ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَظْهَرْ لَنَا حِكْمَةً. Yeah. The scholars say, when you are afflicted with a test, as mentioned in Bayan al-Quran, and the verse in Surah Hadid, I'm just making a reference and moving on, you tell yourself, وَعِينُ مَا يُرْشِدُ إِلَيْهِ أَهْلُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِتَذْكِيرِ الْقَدْرِ وَأَنَّ الْخَيْرَ فِي مَا وَقَعَ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَظْهَرْ لَنَا حِكْمَةً. That which is happening in my life is the best for me because it was calculated by the one whose calculation is the best, though the wisdom of this calculation is beyond my comprehension. Remember, no command or injunction of Allah is illogical. Some are beyond our logic, but never against logic. It would be naive and foolish to assume a father's logic to be measured by the comprehension of his small child, because then none of us are wise. What's the English proverb? Just when you realize your dad was correct, you have a son in your house who thinks you're incorrect. That you go through all the phases and you say, oh, then the old man, he wasn't shooting from his hip. The man was wise. He was talking with wisdom. And then your son challenges you, but dad, you don't make sense. Dad, you don't make sense. Okay, so the recitation of this ayah. Yesterday I gave a talk at the rehab center, and I said to those brothers of mine, I said to them, happiness lies in Allah's obedience. I said to them, you cannot do the wrong and expect to be happy. It's almost like eating the entire day and wishing to be hungry at the time of iftar. You simply cannot. I said, you can come at the iftar table and fake hunger, sitting down with everyone. But remember, your indulgence will be fake. Their indulgence will be wholesome. When a fasting person opens his fast, only he knows. What's the answer to happiness? I always say in my talks, the answer to happiness is moderate deprivation. The whole year round we eat. Let's be frank, honest, and candid. Are we ever excited for any meal? No. That was great. It was awesome. It was a barbecue. Nothing to write home about. It was decent. Decent. But Ramadan is the one month, from a 5-year-old to a 55-year-old, everyone is excited for one meal and that supper. And what was the answer? Are you eating different? No, no. You stay hungry, so you became grateful. You want to be happy? Deprive yourself in moderation, and you'll be happy. But if you just keep on filling yourself up, then you'll be feeding this monster. And today we see the display of that kufr and that monster out there. That's what's happening. When you become oblivious, you're just out for yourself. Okay, the second reflection. Sorry for taking the time, Shabbat Ismail. I always tell people, don't be generous in giving me time. You'll retract your words. That's one thing you don't want to be generous with me about. But let's leave this as a takeaway point. So in this, under this very verse here, which I recited, how the Sahaba said, Allah is sufficient. So when you confront them, you read the dua. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the woman made lustful advancement. He said, Ma'adallahi innahu rabbi ahsana mathwaya innahu la yuflihu al-dhal. Allah forbid. Now the point I want to further develop, it's imperative to read the relevant du'as, but it is insufficient to stagnate at the sheer recitation. Did you get what I say, my brother? So when you are hit with a crisis, you say, Hasbunallahu ni'mal wakeel. That's good. You've seen sin, you say, Ma'adallah. But you don't say, Ma'adallah and sin. You don't say, Hasbunallah and just be lame and inactive. There's a hadith of Tirmidhi under this ayah mentioned in the Tafaseer. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had pronounced a judgment between two people. There was some difference. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed judgment. So he passed the judgment after looking at the merits of the case in favor of one companion radiallahu anhu. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. And then he passed the judgment against one companion radiallahu anhu. So the companion radiallahu anhu against whom the judgment was passed in the context of that situation, he said, Hasbunallah, Allah is sufficient. Look at the beauty and the balance of our deen. And it's so important to marry it with the fine synchronization. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh, call him. The one who said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, call him. We're not telling you exclude or omit the recitation. We say don't stagnate at that level. I always tell students, you have enrolled. Don't consider enrollment as graduation. It's the beginning of a great future. But the future hasn't yet, you haven't yet accomplished it. Yes, you are on the path. You cannot rejoice because I'm part of this school or this tertiary or this institute or this place. Yes, this place has produced giants. You are in the right seat. But now you need to walk the door. You need to exhibit. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna Allaha yalumu al-ajz. Read the narration. Allah disapproves inaction when you just lazy. ولكن عليك بالكيس. Adopt action, strategize, plan, apply your mind, take into consideration all the factors, prepare, be adequate. فَإِذَا غَلَبَكَ أَمْرٌ فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. And after adopting and exhausting and strategizing and doing everything within your means, if you're overpowered by something external, then don't become despondent. Remind yourself, Allah is sufficient. So it gives flesh to the theory of the concept and the article of qadr and taqdeer. If you don't have taqdeer, you will be stuck in the woes and the miseries of your past because you won't be able to close the chapter. And if you only rely on taqdeer without taking action. So the Prophet ﷺ is in the cave on the journey of hijrah, and the enemy is at the mouth of the cave, and Abu Bakr has a panic momentarily. And the Prophet of Allah comforts Abu Bakr by saying, what's the panic for two, the third of whom is Allah? Having comforted Abu Bakr that Allah is with us, he didn't abandon the strategy and say, let's go out of the cave. He kept the strategy in place, but he said, let's not rely on the strategy, but he maintained the plan. And I think the Ummah is desperate today to rise, to stand tall. We need to think dense. We need to apply the mind. We need to strategize. We need to be smart. We need to be wise. We need to be circumspect. But then when you are smart and you're wise, don't let that flavor of Qarun come into you. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. It's my skill, it's my acumen, it's my qualifications. No, no. You need to have that balance, that with the skill and with that approach, you put your reliance on Allah. And I leave you with those words of Yaqub alayhi salam, when he sent his children to Egypt, unknown to him that the king and the monarch of that time and the ruler was his own son. And he said, listen, you are coming from a foreign land. Your presence is going to attract extraordinary attention. And when it's going to attract that attention, then inadvertently, you're going to become a spectacle of the evil eye. People are going to, wow, these are amazing, look at them, clad well, attired well, speaking a different language, well dressed, well groomed. So it's going to attract the eye. And some people have the evil eye. There were people in Mecca who had such a strong evil eye that they could floor the camel by looking at it. And they tried to use that spell against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. They tried to drop in the verse. They wanted, but of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah will protect you. So Yaqub alayhi salam said to his children, wow, that's it. Oh my children, here's a strategy to avoid that eye. Don't, today, we throw everything out in social media. Back in the days, you kept everything in a diary. And if somebody read it, you felt offended. Now you put it on social media, and if people don't read it, you feel offended. Ya la fasad al-dawk. Ya la fasad al-dawk. Before, it was private, it was personal. How dare you invade it? That's my privacy. That's mine. Don't open. Keep a diary and it will keep you, as they say. Keep a diary and it will keep you. Record it and it will record you. And today you throw it out, and if you don't get that acknowledgement, then you feel offended and violated. We've lost it. We've lost it bad. So he said, listen, my children, don't enter from one door. Go from here. Go from there. Camouflage yourself. Then he said that, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. I am a Nabi and I'm a father. And this is what dawns upon me to try and circumvent an approaching evil eye. But if Allah has decreed otherwise, my strategy cannot alter the plan of Allah in any way. تَخَافُ الرَّدَى نَفْسِي عَلَيْكَ وَإِنَّهَا لَتَعْلَمُ أَنَّ الْمَوْتَ وَقْتٌ مُؤَجَّلٌ. And then he said, my reliance is on Allah. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And then Allah referred to Ya'qub as, وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَا. That Ya'qub was erudite, he was learned, he was wise. The perfect synchronization of reliance on Allah coupled with the management of a good plan. We need to take that message in our homes, in our personal life, to have a plan, to have action, to have strategy, to think. In English they say, a pauper is one who doesn't have a dream. You need to plan. But when you plan, you need to plan real. Building castles in the air, there's no problem with it. The problem is when you want to enter that castle, you need the foundation. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He make it easy for the ummah. And we say that hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel from the bottom of our heart. But every tragedy that strikes the ummah, something needs to change in your life. Something needs to change in my life. Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, the narration is there. Abu Humayd Sa'di said, when I seen the assassination of Sayyidina Uthman, I cried so much. I cried so much. I vowed to Allah, Allah, I won't be able to laugh again for the rest of my life. Allahumma inna laka alayya an la af'al wa la adhaku hatta alqaak. If that inner self is active, Ibn al-Jawzi said, a believer doesn't fear the death of his soul, that's decreed. He fears the death of his heart. May Allah bless you.
Ameen.